Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Experience the unconventional,
evening, boss.
The unpredictable,
what's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee, the late-night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
I've got a mouth for a sausage.
You're a fanny.
Shag a pony.
Radio. For the trouble, the lost, the weary-eyed, and the nowhere else to go.
Wow!
So Dirty pervert.
Down to the rabbit hole. You can take our love, but not our souls. Endless love and more to give. The late night alternative.
It wasn't even good enough to be shit.
Wow, thank you, Billy. That's Hazy79 has written that. It looks like the musical stroke concept album of the show is on, dear listener. got to be done. Thank you, Billy. That is that was spot on. I don't like the way when he was singing about souls, it sounded vulgar. Was that just my ears?
No.
He was singing our souls, but it sounded rude. Maybe we could do something with that, because this is not a rude show.
No, it's about to get rude.
It's about to get filthy. Who have we got next, Catherine?
Right, let me introduce you to Dr. Kate Lister. She's a lecturer from the Leeds Trinity University School of Arts and Communication. But if you are a Twitter user, you'll probably know her as the person behind the at Whores of Yore.
Whores of Yore. Now, as you know, I follow nobody on Twitter unless they're a member of the pop group The Monkees. Okay, so, yeah, but I'm aware of this feed constantly because you keep retweeting it. It's hilarious. Very, very funny. What kind of stuff is
like
on there?
Old-fashioned words for Fanny mostly.
Oh,
and also, no. You know, terrible tests they used to do on sailors they had last week. This awful kind of plunger type effort.
Well, let's speak to Dr. Kate Lister now. Good evening, Kate.
Good evening.
So nice to talk to you. What was this test they used to do on sailors then with the plunger?
Well, it wasn't so much a test. It was more of a treatment. It was a picture of a urethral syringe that was used to inject mercury directly into the penis of somebody suffering with syphilis.
Yeah, right into your Aretha Franklin.
Quite testing, I would imagine. But no, it was full-gone syphilis by that point.
Good grief. Right, so here's the thing. You've got a book out. It's coming out soon. I've seen pictures of you looking delighted with it as well. You should, because I've had a look at it today. It's bloody brilliant. It's kind of Horrible Histories, like the mucky late night version.
But about fannies.
Well, I've read the first couple of chapters. It covers the word whore and where that probably comes from, a very old-fashioned word.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it also the origins of the C word.
Okay.
There's a lot of C words, I've been prepped. That I can't drop too many C bombs on your programme.
You can't drop any C bombs on the programme. We have to be C bomb free.
They said I could have two. Is that not right?
Who said that? God, we're breaking out in a sweat here now, Kate. God, no C bombs.
No. They were very strict.
Has the C word always been? Because it's like it's the worst swearing, isn't it? Funny, we can't say the C word, but by saying the C word, everyone has got it flashing in their head big neon letters. Has it always been like offensive?
No, it absolutely hasn't. Back in the medieval period, around about the 13th, 14th century, it appears in medical dictionaries, and doctors are using it. It's just your day to day average word. You would go to the doctor. Say, I think there's something wrong with my C word.
I love it.
And it started getting rude later on, relatively late on, didn't it?
Yes, it starts to take on a really offensive quality round about the Shakespearean time, sort of the rise of Puritanism. And it starts, you can see it in Shakespeare's plays when he's referring to it. He's kind of, it's very tongue-in-cheek and kind of he's just subtly alluding to it. There's a moment in Hamlet, I have to be really careful I don't say it, but there's a moment in Hamlet where Hamlet says, do you think I mean country matters? But if you pause on the first syllable, then there's the joke being implied there.
Yeah, I remember at school as well as all laughing about the allusion to it in Chaucer. I mean, one of the great moments in The Miller's Tale. She gets caught by hers, which makes you wonder just how easy it was it flapping about?
Well, we watch Naked Attraction a lot, and some of them do flap about.
But my teacher told me something about that word, because he uses the word quaint, Chaucer.
Quaint, yes.
And that my teacher suggested it may have an origin in the French coin or corner. He said, if you open a lady's legs, what do you get in the corner? And they're all related. But the truth is, according to your book, Kate, we don't really know, do we?
Well, we don't. And I'm taking my cue from the Oxford English Dictionary. And it's one of those words that it's so old, we just kind of lose the origins of it. But it's thought to have given us a number of other words. And that word quainter that Chaucer uses also means intelligence, as in cunning.
Mm.
Or if you go up to Scotland, if you ken something, that means you understand something, like ken something.
Oh.
So the C word has also given us cunning and ken. And that's how Chaucer's using it. It means like an intelligence.
Ken from Newcastle, that makes sense. Is it true, Kate, that there used to be a street not too far from where we are, I think, near London Bridge, called Grope C Word Lane? And it's where all the sex workers would go and hang out.
Yeah, and it did exactly what it said on the tin. It was a place for groping C words.
Listen to us giggling like school children, I know, but I love it. I do love it. And also, I nearly said it. The C word, it has
kind of, it's funny, in England, Britain, it's kind of more acceptable than it used to be. In America, they still get very, very, very upset with that word. But if you go to Scotland, somewhere like Glasgow, it's a term of endearment, isn't it?
I found out a really interesting stat from your book, Kate, about Irving Welsh's book, Trainspotting. There's 731 C words.
Yeah.
In the film, only 17.
Okay.
Because as you say, that the use of it is different. You can be quite affectionate with it.
It's got a remarkable linguistic dexterity in how you use it. Most, especially in Scotland, you don't use it to mean genitals. It just kind of almost doesn't mean anything. It can mean a person, usually. But it's quite rare, actually, that you hear it being referred to mean the vulva, basically. That's the one that you don't hear very often. It's just a kind of, almost like a nothing word up in Scotland. He's a C word, she's a C word.
Oh, yeah, I watch, I don't know, you're probably aware of the comedian Limmy, and I watch him a lot, and he drops them, and it's not doing it for effect. It's his vocabulary. He's from Glasgow, working class Glasgow. And that is just part of the vocabulary, isn't it?
Experience the unconventional,
evening, boss.
The unpredictable,
what's happening?
And the completely unorthodox,
exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee, the late-night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
Those damn Puritans messing up everything. I've always thought it fascinating, and it's a slightly dangerous thing to discuss on a phone-in show, but I've always found it fascinating how four letters on a page or a noise, you know, that you make with your mouth can cause so much offence to people and you know, it can really upset people and the same with other swear words, but that one in particular. How did the Puritans do it then? What was their... why did they say, you can't say that word anymore, guys, come on?
I don't know if there was like a meeting where they made the decision.
Very dry meeting.
Really dry. Everyone got a memo. Right, okay, from now on it's C word only. But it's just, as sex became more and more censored in the Puritan era, so the language that we use to describe sex became more and more censored. In the earlier medieval period, swear words that they would use would be more religious in nature. If you'd say something like God's wounds or zooms or, you know, Christ's teeth or something like that, along those lines.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't use a swear word related to a body part like we do now. We have lots of swear words related to reproductive organs. And it's mostly because in the medieval period, sex wasn't considered that offensive. It was kind of bawdy and a bit of fun, and they speak about it quite freely. Like you said, it's in Chaucer's work, so it's obviously, you know, some knockabout carry-on fun for them. Yeah. But when you get to Puritans, they really start suppressing sex. That's when you start getting this idea about sexual sin and sexual transgression, and people are punished for it. And so you start to see the language becoming more and more offensive around that, because people swear about what they care about.
What about whores? Catherine says that there are whores in the book. Because whores now is a very... it's a very unpleasant word.
Yeah.
I said sex worker earlier on.
Yeah.
Has whores always been an insult, always been a put-down?
Pretty much. The etymology of it, the really early etymology, think that perhaps it sprung from an original word that meant a desire, but it's Germanic and so it springs from horror, really, and that means an adulteress. It's always been quite offensive, but it hasn't always meant someone that sells sex. It can just mean like sort of like slut or slag, for example. It just means a promiscuous woman.
Right.
And it's quite a contentious term because it's one of those words that's in a state of reclamation amongst some groups. Is, you know, members of the sex work community were pretty quick to call me out on using it. So I've spent a lot of time researching the word and speaking to sex workers, and they've been incredibly generous and patient with me. And I have included the history of the word there because I think it's useful to see how the word's evolved and what it means.
Yeah, because it kind of evolved just to be a word used generally by men to uppity women who they wanted to put in their place. They thought they'd they stepped out of line.
Well, it's a strange insult because it's the one that gets levelled at women the most throughout history, but it's got nothing really to do with their sexual state. Like, Joan of Arc was called the French whore, and she died a virgin. And Elizabeth I was the virgin queen, but she was also known as the English whore by the Spanish. Mm. So it seems to be that's the insult that they go for.
Yeah.
I wonder, is it the patriarchal thing? Is it? I can call Catherine a bit of a... You've been a bit of a cock tonight. I can just... which she has. I can
it's
just,
not calling the land that you can do him for
I,
it,
I can
afraid.
Just about get away with that on here, and it is a much more acceptable word. But if I couldn't call her the C-word. It's interesting, isn't it? The male genitals, a dick, you know, cock, balls, you can get away with. But the female genitals... that's where the real insult is. I would struggle. Okay, a few I can do. I would struggle to get away with saying fanny. Mm. I certainly couldn't say the C word. The abbreviated form of clitoris, I would probably get told. It's interesting, isn't it, that it's the female parts that seem to carry the most offence. I wondered why that was.
I suppose it's because throughout history it's been female sexuality that's come in for a particular amount of censor. This idea that like boys will be boys has been throughout Western history, and it's the women that have been punished for their sexuality far more. But it's like even today, as you're saying, that we struggle to think of language to talk to about the vulva. I was speaking to a GP the other day, and I said, what's the language that people use when they come and speak to you? And he said that like most people go, there's something wrong with down there. That's what they say. And I'm not suggesting anyone, you know, uses the C word, because it might be everyone.
But here's the thing, even I, you know, I'm like an educated, I consider myself to be, you know, all waking, maybe not completely woke, but waking. But I've got two little boys that are 7 and 9, and a few years ago they asked me where the babies come from. And I had no problem saying penis. But I hesitated for a second before saying vagina. Yeah. I hesitated because it felt like I should. But penis and vagina is the same language, you know. And yet I still felt that. Oh, should I be? Yeah, of course, I should say that.
I know, but it's vagina feels really clinical and like it's not used very much in day to day life. I'm forever asking people, what are your words that you use for it?
Yeah,
because it's either overly medicalized. Really offensive, really childish.
Yeah, the childish one is the one that gets me when you hear, you know, grown women referring to their foo-foo.
Minky, fairy.
No,
tuppence is a classic though.
The tuppence.
Let's never get rid of the tuppence. Go on, Kathy.
Yeah, no. But what I found really interesting as well. I found all of it interesting, and I'm definitely
By the way,
buying
it. Get pens and papers, guys, because we're going to tell you the title of the book, where you can get the book, and we'll tweet out all the stuff
and
as well.
Here's another thing, Kate. When I mentioned it, I was talking to my dad, who is a 65-year-old man, and he went, "Oh, whores are you? Yeah, all right, I follow her." And I went, "I know what you're getting for Christmas." The thing I found really interesting was the origins of the word penis and vagina, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Kate's book, I learned penis is like sword and vagina is just sheath. So basically, you're walking around talking about your knob holder.
Oh.
Yeah. That vagina is Latin for scabbard. It means something that you put a sword into.
You're just a receptacle.
Its whole etymological function. So it's not really very feminist at all.
Wow.
Really. So it's, you know, the C word is far more empowering because that might mean intelligence and cunning.
But language is evolving, right? So there is a chance that it will swing back the other way and the C word becomes acceptable again?
It'll be off the naughty step. Maybe. But I don't know, would you want that though? Do you not like the fact that it's a bit naughty and it's there for emergencies?
Yeah, just break glass in case of emergency. Yeah, I like the power of it myself, you know.
You just hold it back from time to time and then boom, you've got it out and then, stunned your friends.
Do you remember, Catherine, the first time you said the C word in front of your mum? Have you ever said it?
No, I never said it.
Have you never said it?
No, I said shit once in front of her and I got my mouth washed out with soap, so I wouldn't try the C bomb. No, I wouldn't, but I remember the first time I said it in front of you and you nearly died.
Yeah, I was...
Of laughter.
Yeah.
Because I'm quite careful with my words and I think the fact that I said it, like I said, it was powerful.
My boys, Kate, are fascinated with swearing. It's worn off a little bit, actually, but they're fascinated with swearing. And if they see a film that's got, like, an S-bomb in it, they get there's my 7-year-old would turn to me and go, there it goes. they saw a film with their mum the other day, and they said, oh, we saw a film yesterday with mummy. I said, oh, yeah, was it good? They said, yeah, it had the C word in it. And I started sweating and thinking, my God, what is going on in the household? And I went, really? And we talked about it. And I said, just remind me what the C word is. And he looked at me and went, crap.
Sigh of relief.
And I breathed. And part of me wants to empower him and give him the keys to be the king of the playground for a day. But part of me is enjoying the...
want that conversation with the head of school.
He's enjoying the innocence. When did you start the Twitter feed, at Whores of Yore, and why?
I started it back, it's got to be about 2015, 2016.
Right.
And I'd love to tell you it was a really well thought out project, but it wasn't. Good. I was researching the history of sex, and I found a reference to a quote-unquote strumpet in 14th century London who called herself Clarice Clatterbollocks.
Hang on, it's not Kate, it's not the greatest line. Could you say that again, please?
Yeah, just one more time. Clarice Clatterbollocks.
Oh, God, that's my new Twitter name.
There we go. That's beautiful. Go on.
I think that was the first tweet I ever put out, and that was that.
I don't blame you. That's brilliant.
What is the book called? And where is the best place for people to get it that gives you the most money?
Okay, it's called A Curious History of Sex.
Yep.
And it's available through Unbound Publishing. And it's... Or if you order it there, the pre-order profits are being donated to Basic Sex Work Project in Leeds. So you get to do some good as well.
Fantastic. Hey, listen, Kate, Catherine?
Yeah, also, I've got to say thank you for introducing the term pudding bag to my vocabulary.
Kate, listen, you're welcome on any time.
My pleasure.
You want to come on?
Oh, thank you.
We will do a little tweet during the next break as well, and we'll get the link and send people off.
And this is going out as a bonus podcast tomorrow as well.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Kate, thanks so much for your time. We'll speak again. Thank you. There you go. That's Dr. Kate Lister.
She's brilliant.
At Whores of Yore on Twitter. A Curious History of Sex. We'll find that and we'll tweet out the link to that. I think we'll have to get a copy of that. She's good, man. Well done.
So good.
Well done.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boys.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.